This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly for the win on the BetRivers Network.
Hello, everyone. It's Simon Holden here for the Win, the Bet Rivers Golf Podcast, the number one golf podcast there is. And talking of number ones, we are going to Vegas, baby. And I have got two men with me who would stake it all on red if they had to. They are Golf Betting Club, Campbell Brothers, Duncan and Neil. And I'm going to start with you, Neil. You came so close last week with Seb Straka. Well, he lost that playoff 50-1, a great call. And you boys are smoking. If you walked into the casino and sat down at the roulette table, easy for me to say, I think you would be ordered out and banned for life. But we're going to go to Vegas. It is the Shriners. We are in the city that never sleeps. But Neil, so unlucky, mate. How did you feel when that playoff started? Were you confident?
Yes and no. I have Straka down as generally quite solid in contention, but after watching the playoff against Zalatoris in the FedEx Cup, he absolutely threw that one away. So from that aspect, I was a little bit less confident. And the way Mackenzie Hughes was scrambling, especially in the last few holes as he came in, I just thought he might have the edge. In the end, I think he won with a birdie. And it was well-deserved in the end. I think Mackenzie Hughes led the field in tee to green. So he did earn his win. Straka gave us a great run, though. And 50-1 for a guy that's really contending in strong fields at the moment was just far too big. But no, you can't win every week. We've had a good run, and he pushed Hughes hard.
He certainly did. 50-1, folks. These guys are smoking hot. And Mackenzie Hughes, what can you say? But Seb Straka, he is, he's a coming force. And I think he could be in that Ryder Cup next year. But that is another point. Now we are going to Vegas. Duncan, tell us about the TPC Summerlin. Tell us about the course. What's the sort of players we need to look out for? And are these Vegas courses, are they resort courses? Obviously, people are going out there for vacations. Or are they a little bit tougher for these pros than you might think?
Yeah, this is a birdie fest this week. TPC Summerlin desert course. Winning score is generally around minus 20 or better. And we've got ideal conditions this week. So we should once again see some low scoring. Players who perform well in the desert generally tend to repeat form. So if you look at the results for this event and also some of the events earlier in the year, the American Express being one, you can generally find players who tend to excel in these kind of conditions. I read earlier on today that this is actually the easiest par 71 on the PGA Tour. So really, birdies are the order of the day. And if you've got any players who either get hot with the putter or get hot with their approach, then this is a week to watch out. And there should be birdies aplenty. Should be good viewing.
Excellent. Can't wait for this week. Love these Vegas courses. Now, Neil, let's look at the top end of the market. Bet Rivers go of 50-odd, six places. So we've got plenty of value there. Now, one player who in the recent President's Cup did cover himself in glory from the international team was Sung Jae-im. He is the reigning champ. He's not going to be missed by the bookmakers, let's be honest. He comes in around the 11-1 mark. What are you thinking about the retaining champ?
Yeah, it's hard to make a case against Sung Jae-im this week. Three appearances here. I believe he's not been worse than 15th place, including the win last year where he had the tournament record score, minus 24. He's had three second places in his last five starts. And obviously had a strong President's Cup. Now, Sung Jae-im started the week off at around about the 16-1 mark. But I think there's been a lot of money coming in for him. And at the time of recording, I think he's down to around about 12-1. Now, that is just a little bit too short for me. given the style of this event. You know, it's going to be a very low scoring event. We're going to see birdies. Traditionally, there's a bit of wind that picks up in the afternoon around here, but the forecast really at the moment is for winds maximum 7 miles per hour. So conditions are going to be ideal. And I think we're going to maybe see a few big prices contend this week. If you look back at the last 6 years, four of the winners have been over 100 to one. Three of the winners have been over 250 to one. So we've seen some massive shocks here. And I think just with the conditions being a little bit easier, everyone's going to have a lot of opportunities for birdie. And for that reason, I can't be touching him at the 12 to one. The same goes for Cantlay. Justified market favourite, 7 to 1 though, even though he's got an amazing course record, and I expect him to be up there. I just think the style of the event, I can't be touching him. If you were looking to play one of the two, I would maybe be looking to take them on against Max Homa, who's third in the betting. Max, for whatever reason, has just never took to this course. He's got four missed cuts in his last four attempts, and he's just off the win at Fortinet, and so he might be not as motivated as usual. And I just think take the course specialists against Homa, who struggles here.
Yeah. Now, Duncan, let's look at the top of the market from your point of view. Neil's just made the point about this is a big price, a tournament that's thrown at big price winners. But who out of the top four or five, you know, would be your choice this week?
I think the one that catches the eye purely on his performance at the President's Cup was Tom Kim. You're getting 22 to 1 on Tom Kim. And I kind of contrast that with Sungjae Im. Now, I know Sungjae has been around a bit longer. I got a bit more experience in the bag. But Tom Kim was the star name, really, of the President's Cup. He was the one that everyone was talking about. His energy and his enthusiasm were great to watch. And he's a player that's really going places in my eyes. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see Tom Kim round about the kind of prices that Sungjae Im is now in 12 months' time. And I kind of think that if you're going to back Tom Kim, you know, why not back him when he's still 20 to 1 and above and you're getting a good number on him rather than, you know, wait the 12 months and he probably will be round about that same price point as Sungjae Im. So, yeah, I just think there's a lot of momentum coming in with Tom Kim and I think he's an interesting option this week.
Definitely. This is a future superstar. No doubt about that. Let's look down now away from that, Neil, and let's look at that mid-range. Those players around the 33 to 1 to around 50, 66 to 1. Players obviously with big chances who you might have an edge with here. Who's taking your fancy from that portion of the market?
Yeah, I think this is a really strong area in the betting this week. We've got a lot of established PGA Tour winners at some nice prices, 50 to 1 or more. The two obvious ones are Siwoo Kim and KH Lee, who were top performers in the President's Cup. So I wouldn't put anyone off a few dollars with them. I just liked a little bit bigger price on Lucas Herbert this week, who's 70 to 1. One of the trends we actually picked up on the preview was that although outsiders do really well here, six of the last nine winners have already bagged a PGA Tour win. So Herbert is coming in with a win last year, which was in Bermuda around about the same time of year. So we know he can perform at this time. We last saw Herbert, he was at the Italian Open on the DP World Tour and he put in a strong performance, finishing fifth. And his approach play looked in really good shape. And I just think he's a player that's been underrated and disrespected quite often. I consider him, you know, I think he's just broke the top 50 or he's there or thereabouts. He's been in top 15 in two of the majors. And I don't really think he fears the big boys. I feel like Herbert's the sort of guy that can take on anyone in this field. And if the wind does pick up, which it isn't forecast, but it always can change, Herbert should have no trouble coping with those elements. So I just feel like 70 to 1, he's worth a play this week.
Yeah, and he's a player that you've often highlighted on this. And we've talked a lot, haven't we, about when players drop from the PGA Tour to the DP Tour, about the drop in class, how they can like suddenly contend from being sort of mid-range players. But another player that you've highlighted, Thomas Dietrich, he has gone and played really well on the PGA Tour, and obviously Lucas Herbert, who you've just said. So there's obviously some kind of crossover. We know that Aaron Rye has done brilliant this year on the PGA Tour. So really, it can be that these players can be underrated. Duncan, again, that we often talk about golf betting being very different to anybody else. We've got any other sport. We've got six places to go at. You could finish fifth or sixth with one of these 66 to 1, 70 to 1. And you've got a really nice winning bet, haven't you? So it really does pay to have a look around this. Who takes your fancy from that kind of mid-range price?
I agree with Neil. There's lots of good options, I think, in this kind of mid-range. And I could well see the winner coming from here.
Yes.
I agree with Siwoo Kim. I think there's a lot to like about Siwoo. He's a real desert performer. He's, you know, top 10 finish in this event before. I think he's actually got two top 15s in his last four starts in this event. So he's gone well here in the past. He's won the American Express a couple of times in the past, which is a desert course as well. Mm. So he is that kind of player. And he obviously comes in on the back of a really successful President's Cup. You know, he beat Justin Thomas in the singles, and he putted well in that. That's always been a worry for Siwoo Kim, is that he's a fantastic ball striker, but a terrible putter. But now that he's switched to the long putter, it was really interesting for me that he holds some pressure putts against JT. You know, when it really mattered, he stepped up and held that putt on the 18th for the win. And I just wonder if that confidence that he has in his putter is really going to benefit him. And I think he's a very interesting option this week at 50 to 1 and above. The other one I like in this kind of range is Gary Woodland, who's now about 66 to 1 range. Gary actually missed the cut last week at the Sanderson Farms, but he was excellent tee to green. He was first for his two rounds for strokes gained off the tee, and he was 27th for strokes gained approach for those two rounds. He just had an absolutely miserable couple of days on the greens. But like the others I've mentioned, Gary is a proven desert performer as well. He's got a couple of top 20s in this event. He's won one of the earlier events in the season as well. Not this year, but in years gone by. And he's shown that he can perform in desert conditions. And I wonder if coming back to greens that are maybe just a little bit easier. You know, we talked earlier on about a resort-type course where low scores prevail. And I wonder if that's what Gary needs. He needs to come back to easier greens, where he can, you know, take advantage of the par fives and really make a score. And I think 66 to 1 or above is a good option for Gary Woodland.
Yeah, you know, the US Open former champion, such a fantastic ball striker. It's just bizarre, isn't it, how he's dropped away. But it could well be this is the sort of price you want to get with him on. Neil, we talked in our majors special, I think it may well have been the US Open, about when we bet on golf, and we look for the type of tournament that would be won around level par. Or we look at these resort course tournaments where you might even be, I don't know, let's throw a figure out, maybe 20, 22 under would win. And how it can be more difficult. Now, you made the point earlier that this tournament has got a habit of throwing up big price winners. So would these type of events where you do get your 22, your 24 under, and be the type of thing where you would be more prepared to go for big prices?
I think so, yeah. Especially events that, you know, the putter is going to be a big factor here. Who's going to hold the most putts? Who's going to get these birdies that you need to get to a low score? With that said, tee to green stats have been key this year. So we do want a good ball striker. But yeah, in general, I think if someone tells me the winning score is going to be minus 25 on a resort type course, that brings a lot more players that can't normally win on a difficult golf course. They have a chance this week. It might still be an outside chance, but at least they've got a chance, unlike a major where we can probably narrow the field down to about 50 players. So yeah, by all means, if you like a long shot this week, I wouldn't put you off.
Yeah, now...
Just to add to that, if you remember earlier on in the season when John Rahm was caught swearing, wasn't he? He was complaining that things were too easy. I think he said it was too effing easy.
Oh, I hate that.
So obviously, like for the good players, it's less of an advantage, you know, for them. If the scoring is really easy, they're not quite as happy. They want it to be a bit tougher, where their elite ball striking can come to the fore. And like Neil said, if someone gets hot with a putter, you can get a shock winner.
You know what the best bit about that was? John Rahm went on to win the Mexico Open later in the year, which was one of the lowest scoring events.
I think
it was his only win, wasn't it? So
I bet he kept his mouth. I bet he kept his mouth shut. The prize giving about how easy it was. Well, I'm so disgusted by the bad language that I guarantee you this, Dunk. If you ever play with me at my local course, I won't name it in case people write in. I will promise I will never shout out, "This is too F easy." I promise you'll never do that. I'm just so disgusted at what he did. Now, we talked about big prices. Enough of this John Rahm swearing and carrying on. Let's open up the bomb factory. And I'm going to come to you first, Duncan. You are the man, the bomb man extraordinaire. And, well, this is a tournament where I think we need to lob a few in. So I will start with you, my friend.
Okay, the one I'll give you first of all is Robert Streb. Robert Streb I like mainly because he's quite an inconsistent player. In the last 5 years, he's missed over 50% of his cuts. But what I really like, or what catches my eye about him, is that he's played this tournament and performed really well. He's only missed one cut in 5 starts at this event, and he's posted a 4th place finish and a 10th place finish. So it's clearly somewhere that it suits his eye, that he seems to, you know, thrive. There's a bit more room off the tee, and sometimes he can be a little bit wayward. But he's great with his irons, and he can get hot, really hot with the putter. He's won a couple of times on the PGA Tour, and he's a player that I quite like in contention. He's shown himself that he can handle himself if he gets into the mix on a Sunday. It's just that he doesn't often get in the mix. He missed the cut last time out, last week at the Sandersons. But he gains strokes off the tee and with approach. And he's one of those kind of streaky players who can get hot. And he's one that I like this week to make a good go of it. Another player I like at 3 figures is Justin Suh. He's 100-1 best price with Bet Rivers. And he is a fantastic talent. I think he's a player that's really going places. Had a great year on the Korn Ferry Tour with a win and a 2nd place finish. Former world amateur number one at the same time that Hovland, Morikawa, Wolf were all amateurs. So it was a real kind of feather in his cap that, you know, he was world number one whilst they were on the scene. And he practices out of TPC Summerlin. This is a home game for him. And whilst he struggled in the last couple of events on the PGA Tour, I'm willing to ignore that as just a bit of a, you know, teething or settling in issue. And I think we soon see him post some big finishes. And where better to start than his home course?
Excellent. We often think about the players all basing themselves in Florida and Arizona, but more and more, it seems, they are basing themselves in Vegas itself, aren't they? With so many of the coaches based there. Neil, 50-1 last week, beating a playoff. That was a mere bagatelle to you. We're going to chuck some big prices here at people for Vegas. So come on, hit me with those biggies.
I'm not going mega large. I'm not dropping the bombs like Duncan. Maybe just a couple of hand grenades.
Small bombs.
The first one is 70-1, and we actually spoke about Mexico Open earlier, which I think that tournament could be a decent guide to who could perform well this week. So that brought me to Kurt Kitayama, who is definitely knocking on the door for his PGA Tour win. He had 2 second places on the PGA Tour this week, once in Mexico and once in Scotland, and a 3rd place in Honda. Now, 2 of those events were very, very strong fields. So there's no doubt, and he is very close to a win. And I feel 70-1 is very big. Like Herbert, he comes in off a 7th place in Italy, so we know he's in form, and he's a very strong player tee to green if he can get the putter going this week, and lots of desert form as well, might I add. So if he can get all that clicking this week, 70-1 could be massive for a guy that's knocking into the door. And the other one is Joel Damon, who I think Bet Rivers are running scared of this week because they've only priced him at 80-1, but if you shop around, you can maybe get a little bit bigger than that. But he's kind of been out of form. He posted a 12th place finish at the US Open, and I thought he was going to go from strength to strength from there, but he's not. He went a bit backwards, but last week was a big improvement. He finished 13th, and he ranked second tee to green. And what we found from the recent winners of this event is the previous week they've posted strong tee to green stats. So I really like that angle on Damon, and I feel he's a classier operator than the odds suggested. And once he comes back to form, we won't be seeing prices like that. He's also got two top 25 finishes in his last three starts at this venue, so we know he takes quite well to it. And I just want to say two guys at much bigger prices who have got really, really strong course form. And I talked about how Sung GM and Patrick Cantlay just keep coming back here and knocking top 10s and top 15s. And Charlie Hoffman and Scott Piercy are two veterans who can probably come back here and then give it a good go. We saw the likes of Austin Cook and Martin Laird perform very well here in the past, and I feel like they could do something similar. I think they're 150 and 200-1, so maybe a couple of bombs at the end.
I think he's done a little couple of bombs bigger than we thought. They're superb. You get these Twitter things where they say, who would you like to have a round of golf with? I always say Charlie Hoffman, the Hoff. I think he's the coolest guy in golf, and he could well be coming back to form. So there you go. I think the message from the guys is very, very clear. Do not be afraid to go for prices in Vegas, the city of gambling. Now, we are going to quickly cover the DP World Tour. Now, last week, the Dunhill Links, three nice days, and then one day which reminded the world that Scotland can produce some of the most spectacular and terrible storms. There was a shot of Billy Horschel as the camera went on him, and I nearly organised a fundraising concert for the guy. He looked so depressed and sodden. So, I mean, it was just crazy. But they go to warmer climbs this week. It's the Open de España at the Club de Campo, and it provides us with a real headache as punters. I'm going to come to you first, Neil. And that headache is we have one of the shortest priced favourites of the year. It's the man who tends to swear when he thinks things are too easy and then wins on easy courses. I've already given you a clue. It's that man, John Rahm. He will be roared round by his adoring fans this week, but boy, is he a short price. And the obvious question, Neil, are we a layer or a player? What do we think?
I think neither. I think even if you're sitting on the fence, I think even if you like John Rahm this week, you know, take a braver man than me to be taking it. I think the odds were round about not far off 2-1 the last time I checked.
Yeah, about 9-4, yeah.
I think it's the shortest price of a year in any field in the DP and PGA Tour. No, we know we can do it. He started the Mexico Open around about 4-1 and 5-1. And I think we said we couldn't get involved in that again. But I do think it means that a smaller number of players in this field can probably go on to win this week. I can probably only see about, you know, 10, 20 players that I could actually envisage taking on John Rahm down the stretch on Sunday and actually winning this event. And that probably leads me to my pick of the favourites, who is Adri Arnus. And he's 18-1 this week. He's third favourite behind Tommy Fleetwood. And Adri was at the Dunhill Links last week. And funnily enough, that's almost my angle in this week. I'm looking for players who had a terrible score on that Friday. Which some players have called not even golf, you know, just survival. And apart from that, he had a 67, 66 and 68 on either side of the 80 strokes he took on Friday, which is a far truer reflection of where his game is actually at. So, fourth and second in two starts at this course. He absolutely loves it. He eats up the par fives here. He is a really, really strong contender this week. And I think if you want a bit more, you know, you could take the John Rahm at 2-1 if you want. But I think if you backed that more times than not, you would end up losing money. And whereas I think if you backed Arnus 18-1, he's gonna win more than your odds there. So he's gonna be my play from the front.
Excellent. And of course, you know, with your six places, you've kind of got that price in your place with a chance to win as well. You've got the double bubble. In defense of the bookmakers, BetRivers and the bookmakers in general, Dunk, this is a very, very weak field. So when they're putting their books together and their prices together, I actually can see why they're running scared. I don't know if you agree with me that in this field, I think he's about right. I'm not suggesting for a minute that he should be back, because I think if you're going to back 2-1s in golf, you know, you're going to be with a dog next to you and a little hat upturned and saying, "Change for me, mister." But, you know, can you understand why he's so short?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he should win this. I think the only reason he didn't win it last year was he was tired. I think he'd come off the back of a few events, and he was just running on empty. You know, he won 2019. He won this event by 5 shots, and it looked like he was going to win last year as well. I think it was just a bad Saturday from memory. I think he was good the rest of the days, but just a poor Saturday was the only thing that kind of stopped him. And he should win this. He comes in rested. He comes in, you know, with no excuses, really. And like he did in Mexico, I probably think he's going to win. But I'm in full agreement with you two. And that, do I think he's going to win? Yes. Do I want to back him at 2-1? No, probably not. I'm not going to lose any sleep if John Rahm goes ahead and wins at 2-1. I'm not in the business of backing 2-1 shots in golf. So others would be preferred from an each way angle.
What takes your fancy? I mean, what I will say is you've got Tommy Fleetwood second favourite. Now, you know, God bless Tommy, but I think you need some more black and white film to see his last victory. You've got Paul Yannick. If you were being rude, you'd say he's not a household name, his own house. And then you've got Eddie Pepp that's, by his own definition, on a little bit of a losing streak. So this isn't a sort of smoking DP Tour field, but from that top level or even dropping into mid-range, Dunk, who do you want to take Ram on with? Thinking, of course, you've got those places as well.
Yeah, I'm focusing on Spaniards this week. 2019, we saw Spanish 1-2-3. And then last year, we saw Arnaus and Cabrera Bello battle out in a playoff for the win. So Spaniards are the order of the day here, in my opinion. And the one I like the best is Pablo Larrazabal, a proven winner on the DP World Tour. Probably could go, one of the ones that could go head-to-head with Ram if he needed to. He's going to got that arrogance about him that you probably need to maybe take Ram on. Recent form's been patchy, which is why you're getting 50-1. But I think that he loves playing in Spain. And I think that if I was going to take someone in the midsection, that would be who I'd go with.
Yeah. Now, any other bets in this, Neil, that we can get interested in?
Yeah, no, I think Duncan's hit the nail on the head here. Spain is one of the strangest events of the Open de España, where Spaniards just continuously turn up. I don't know whether it's the support or the conditions or a mix of everything, but you've got to side with the Spaniards, and no one's got a better record here than Cabrera Bello. I'm quite surprised to see 40-1. By BetRivers this week. I think that's a great, great price. Defending champion. If you look back at his quotes last year, he commented how much he loves this course. He loves turning up here. Every year he seems to arrive in bad form, but it doesn't matter. This place gets him going. 3 starts ago, he was 9th at the BMW PGA Championship, which is a stellar field with the likes of, you know, Rory and Lowry. So I don't think his game's too far off. And again, last week he missed the cut. But it was due to a horrendous round on the Friday and 2 not bad rounds on either side. So stick with the Spaniards this week. I think it's a week to keep it simple, actually. Quite often we go chasing the each-way value and the bigger prices. I think in the Open de España, it's one of these events where the top Spaniards tend to battle it out. So just keep it simple this week. And I think 40-1 at BetRivers, cracking price.
Keep it simple, Duncan. Any more to add about the Open de España?
I think if you do want a long price, the one that interests me the most is Alvaro Quiroz, 160-1 with BetRivers. He has been having a little bit of an upturn in form of late, which has caught my eye. He's made 3 of his last 4 cuts, which doesn't sound that impressive in itself, but given Quiroz is quite erratic, it is a significant improvement. But the thing that really that stands out for me is that he made the cut and was 50th last time out at the French Open. And his record at the French Open is abysmal. In his last nine starts before this time around, he missed eight cuts and was 53rd in his only cut that he did make. So the fact that he's made the cut in France shows me that his game's in reasonable shape. And another Spaniard who could go well on this track.
Excellent, excellent. Now, guys, we do focus on the PGA Tour in this podcast, but I really, really think if you're watching this, take heed of what they've said about the Open de España and those Spanish players. Absolutely fabulous. And I tell you what a couple of microphones those guys have got. I actually looked behind me at one point. I thought Duncan was there. It's absolutely incredible. I hope it's coming over to you watching it or even listening to it, more appropriate. Now, it's been another fantastic podcast, but I want to know where I can get in touch with you, Neil and Duncan, on Twitter. So please let me know.
So on Twitter, you'll find us at Golf Betting Club. And if you want to visit our website to get all the information on the events this week and break it down in more detail, you can visit golfbettingclub.com, where we've got everything that you need to help with your betting this week.
Excellent. So we're off to Vegas, the city that never, ever sleeps. And we're not going to sleep from Thursday to Sunday as we watch two golf tournaments and try and get you the winners of both. I've been Simon Holden. This is For the Win. It's golf's number one podcast. And please do listen to us on YouTube, Bet Rivers Network. We've got all sports covered. And also, we say it every time, tell us in the comments below who you think's going to win this weekend, who you're looking out for. Do you like the type of courses, the Vegas courses, the resort courses, where it's 22, 24 under, or do you prefer the level par tough courses where we see those players cry like Friday in Scotland? We're going to be back next week. Thank you for watching. And remember, Bet Rivers, it's your hometown sports book. They're going 50 odd six places in both tournaments. It really is the only golf betting sports book that you will need. Thank you guys for this week. I hope you continue your winning run. I hope to see you next week when we'll do it all again. And great stuff. So we'll be back. Enjoy this week. I've got a broken arm. It's very difficult to end, but I'm going to try and do it very discreetly. We'll see you soon. And remember, always gamble responsibly.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly For the Win on the Bet Rivers Network.